counseling session with a couple whose marriage was not doing well at all. In fact, I halfway expected at least one of them just to get up and leave and literally slam the door, just put the final nail in the coffin, so to speak. It's that serious. And I'll just tell you quickly, God showed up, and some good things, I believe, occurred. And it was God, because I literally am sitting at my desk and looking across. I know this couple well. In fact, I performed their marriage ceremony a couple of years ago. And I'm thinking, oh, God, you know, it's just one of those things where you feel like I have no word. I don't even have any hope, you know, no strength, no power. I just literally had nothing to say. And God just began to, in fact, how... I just feel like I'm an autopilot here, or God piloting, if you follow what I'm saying here. I had earlier in the week, I had decided that I would go for a run, and I would park at Avery Park and then run down to Crystal Lakes, if you know where that area is. And just continued. I ended up running into to Willamette Park. There's a nice trail if you haven't ever gone. It's a beautiful area. And I hadn't been down there for literally since last summer. Usually I go down there on my stop through on my bicycle, but I just felt like I wanted to run down there for some reason. It was one of those rainy, well, it was last week, so I need only to tell you about the weather. But mostly it wasn't too muddy. That was the thinking. And as I'm going by the Willamette River, heading beyond to the south side there, I recall this couple that I started to tell you about, because that's where they got married, was in Willamette Park. But I wasn't so much focused on the marriage. I remember that one of the things that they had done, a couple that were actually remarrying each other, long history, long story here, but suffice it to say, they had put their old wedding rings in a bottle, sealed the bottle, and as a symbol of saying kind of goodbye to the past and putting the past behind them and then turning toward what God had for them in the future, they threw this bottle with their rings in the river and watched it float away. And I remember thinking about that as I went running by, but hadn't really thought about it until I'm sitting opposite them. And I need to control myself here. And as I begin to, that scene came to mind as I'm sitting there literally saying, God, what do I say? And thinking I should have prayed a lot harder, but just feeling completely without. And this picture came to mind, and I began to kind of go back and just rehearse some of what took place there, and immediately I just sensed, as you may have just sensed an emotional moment in me, I not only sensed that, but middle-aged lady, my age, I guess I'm middle-aged. Yes. So I saw something the other day where it's in the menu, senior citizens, 10% discount, 55 and older. I thought, good grief, that's... I'm like a year and a half from that. So I guess I better hold on to middle age as long as I can. It's going fast. Lady my age who came in, she was the one that came in the most hardened, almost with a sneer. Just so hardened and so hurt, so calloused. And immediately I start talking, and immediately you could just sense softening and tears. And I recognize, God, you don't need my wisdom. You just need my cooperation. And it just, I had a hard time from being distracted because I was so caught up by the fact that I knew it wasn't just a desire to go running somewhere different. God knew how to orchestrate, I'll just say it that way. And what's funny is, I'll just finish the story if I can. It's like I'm starting a lot of different things this morning. And in the middle of our conversation, so our time together probably went almost 2 hours. That was probably 7 o'clock before I got to the Connors home. And probably more exhausted than the run that I just told you about. In fact, without a doubt. But in the middle of our time together, this woman, the wife, asks, "So, how can I recognize God's voice? How do I know that it's God speaking?" And I'm thinking, God, how do you choreograph pretty good. And we, continued to dialogue a little bit. What was she said, though, at one point? She was trying to clarify. She says, "Now, I'm not just trying, I want you to understand, I'm not just trying to posture myself so that I can make myself sound spiritual and then wait and then cloak something I might say as though God said it. I really want to hear from God, even if it's what I don't want to hear," she said. I'm thinking, she wants to hear from God. Now, what none of them knew, and what I didn't share Friday night, is that that was very similar to a request that I had prayed earlier this week. Not so much how, it wasn't so much a questioning how, do I know, how can I recognize God's voice? It was more a request, a desperation. God, I need a fresh word from you. Boy, this wasn't supposed to be so emotional. And but just that, just going through a season where, and it's not like I go through seasons where I don't want to hear from God. It was just a season where I just needed to hear a fresh word from the Lord. Not for you, not for preaching, just for me, for what God would say to me. And so, I don't want to... And it is. It was very affirming to and humbling to see how God orchestrates and uses us in significant ways when we're not even really trying. I mean, just oblivious. And so I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I was going to tell you. I wasn't going to tell you all about the run. And just wasn't intended. And you understand why I'm struggling a little bit, because the Lord did speak to me later in the week, but it was while I was on another run. And some of you think that I guess I don't really care what you think. I enjoy running, and there's something about When I'm running, I really am able to hear God. And so I actually went running with in the hopes of this, and it was Friday morning early when the sun finally came out. And so I think that was a part of it. But I ended up going someplace that I had never gone before, mostly because even though the sun was out, there's still lots of mud, and I was at Bald Hill Park, and like the trails, but I don't like the mud. And ended up running up to a place called Fitton Green. Anybody know where Fitton Green is? That doesn't surprise me, because I didn't even know it was there, and I've actually heard about it. I'm not even sure if I can tell you how to get there because I ran up Bald Hill the back way up there, but it's between, it's due east of Cardwell Hill. It connects the end of Oak Creek to Cardwell Hill Road, and it's part of that green belt or something that they're trying to put through from, I think, Corvallis and eventually to clear to Newport. But so it was a new area, and I got up there. I was dead tired and wanted to explore it, but I'd actually been gone longer than I had intended and needed to get back. But it was while I was on the way back, and fortunately it was all downhill, so it was enjoyable. And the Lord just spoke something to my heart. I'd intended to tell you, but then I decided that God was speaking to me. And it's not really important what he said to me, but what is important is that I heard him. And what I'd like to do is to draw your attention this morning to a section of scripture that my Bible just happened to be open to while back to the couple in my office while she was asking me about how to hear from God. Lord, as we look to your word this morning, my thinking is that every single one of us are desperate to hear a fresh word from you. And so my prayer this morning is that you would answer that prayer, Lord, that you would hear our heart's cry to hear your voice, and that we would be fed with manna from above. Open our ears, Lord, in Jesus' name. My Bible was open to 1 Kings 19, and I want to go back just a bit and kind of set the scene for you. It was part of sermon preparation, though I have changed it, and it seems like things continue to be changed here a bit. But it's the account. 1 Kings 19 is the account of Elijah desperately needing to hear a word from God. And just to set the scene, Elijah had just called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, which, by the way, is a real place. I've been on the top of Mount Carmel. There's a big statue of Elijah there, and it's a very significant, as you can imagine, very exciting place to visit, but it is a real place. And he had issued this challenge, the challenge to the people, because Israel wasn't worshiping God, and they were following after the prophets of Baal and following their lead. And so he issued this challenge, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then worship him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And so to help with the decision, then Elijah, like I said, issued this challenge and said, how about if we set up sacrifices and we'll call fire down from heaven? And the God, or the one who answers by fire, will declare that he is God. Well, the prophets of Baal said, well, that sounds good to them, which kind of surprises me that they would agree to this. It really does. And so as some, most of us may be familiar with the story, when the prophets of Baal cried out, there, nothing happened. And of course, Elijah taunted them and teased them and goaded them. And then it was his turn. And he, to make a point, not only put a little bit of water, but he dumped barrels of water on top of the sacrifice just to make it even more unburnable, or to make it more clear that this was going to be God. And of course, he cried out, and immediately God sent down fire that not only came down, but it consumed the altar. I mean, it was a fire. Now, Elijah had just been used by God in a very powerful way. And yet when he heard that Queen Jezebel, the wicked Queen Jezebel, had heard about what's going on, that not only the fire came, but then the prophets were slaughtered, they were killed. And when Elijah heard about all of that, immediately fear grips his heart. Even though God had shown himself in such a powerful way, immediately fear gripped his heart, and he ran for his life, the scripture says, and became extremely depressed. So depressed that he was at the point of suicide. And God found him and spoke to him and taught him some things. It's there that I want to pick up, where Elijah was so desperate to hear a word from the Lord. Verse 9 of chapter 19, and the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind, after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. I guess it was no small fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, again, what are you doing here, Elijah? This point, I would think Elijah should have just said, God, I just need to hear your voice. But he repeats himself. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord could have said, stop your whining and stop your sniveling. But he says, well, he gives them instruction. You know, go anoint, you know, this person over Aram, or go over anoint this person over Israel, and then go find Elisha. He's going to succeed you as prophet. Gave him some other instructions. And then it's like, by the way, you're not the only one left, Elijah. there are 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee to the prophet or to the god, the idol Baal. And Elijah, though, to his credit, he did hear the Lord's whisper. And I believe that this is an incredible lesson on hearing the voice of God. In fact, I went back, as I often do, I went back and put the title of this message, God Whispers. God whispers. God doesn't only whisper, but he whispers a whole lot more than he shouts. An example of God shouting, sending Jesus. I mean, that's a shout from heaven like none other. That is a shout. But most of the time, God whispers. Generally, God doesn't speak to us according to our preferences or according to our terms, to how we would like, okay, God. I was reading through Gideon this week, and I'm amazed sometimes at God's willingness to do what we ask. There's actually several signs in that, but the two famous are the fleece. He puts it out the first time and says, I just want a little confirmation here, God. If you could make all the ground dry around it and just the fleece wet, then I'll know that it's really you. Well, the next morning, he wrung a bowlful, the scripture says, of water out of the fleece. But then he gets to thinking, like you and I would, rationally, or at least we think it's rational, gosh, now it's only natural that the dew would be attracted to the wool. Duh, I didn't even have, that's not God, that's just the natural way things would happen. God, how about if we set the fleece out again and you make everything else wet all around it, but it's dry? Well, God did it. That's the way he did it. And so it's amazes me sometimes that God is willing sometimes to help us out in our bumbling. And that ought to encourage us, by the way. God is patient with our humanity more than we are. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But God doesn't use, just a couple other things. God doesn't use, generally, doesn't use microphones. Hello? Pamela? Hello? Stan? Stan! he doesn't get on the mic and try to, and I'd like that, or at least, if I could hear it. What's that new? Well, it's not all that new. It's a couple years old now, that ringtone, mosquito ringtone. You heard about that? It's because you can't hear it. The one that the teachers aren't supposed to hear anyhow, that only the kids can hear because it's high-pitched. The reason they call it mosquito is because it's so high-pitched that by the time you get in your 20s, even though you may not be hard of hearing, you've already lost that sensitivity. And so it was invented by a Welsh company, a security company, to keep kids from loitering in places of businesses, because they put this high shrill and shriek, and it's so annoying, and it hurts your ears, and it hurts the kids' ears, but nobody else was aware that it was taking place. Well, then the kids had the last laugh, in essence, and changed it to a ringtone for your cell phone, so that in school, when you're not supposed to have them on, they could hear them go off, but the teachers couldn't. That is, until some of the teachers who had acute hearing still, and anyhow. The point is that God help us to to have ears to hear your spirit. What God, he often speaks so soft that if we're not in tune, well, we're not going to hear it. So, maybe, yeah, that's right, because you don't recognize it. That's a good application. Now, does God intentionally, this is vitally important. Does God intentionally hide himself or speak so we can talk to him? You know, just to watch us kind of. No, it's just the opposite. We more hide ourselves or distance ourselves. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But it's God wants us to develop a sensitive, more than that, I think God just simply wants us to seek him and find him. He is invisible, but invisible doesn't mean he can't be seen. That doesn't, again, we're thinking of invisible. If it's invisible, then it can't be. It's not that. It's just not easily seen. It's that God is not on the same plane. He's not in this. He's not bound by time and constraints and by our humanness. God is God. He is visible, but he's not easily seen. He is audible, but not easily heard. And that's why the parables were so difficult for, I mean, as we read them, we begin to, at least we think we grasp them right away, but so often, as the case of the Pharisees, they didn't grasp them because their hearts were dull. Their ears, they couldn't hear the mosquito ring tone. Their hearts were hardened. And as we seek after God and allow God to soften and sensitize, then we are able to see and to hear things of the eternal. So quickly, and you just won't believe how quickly I'm going to go through these next three points. Oh, did I lose my cap? Okay, put myself back together. So how to hear God's voice? Number one, come closer. James chapter 4, the first part of that verse, of the eighth verse. And NIV says, come near to God and... A lot of times, you know, if I'm talking, I'm just kind of talking in a low voice, and I'm talking to Barb and Bob, and Ike back there hears me say something, and he thinks I might be interested. You know, he could, I suppose, say, Dave, talk a little louder, or he could, you know, come up and get a little closer. And I think sometimes we expect God to speak a little louder. And God's saying, come a little closer. Come a little closer. And we always, the disciples, when Jesus was being crucified or during the trial, he said Peter followed at a distance. And the need for us to follow close, like Psalm 63, stay close. King James, followeth. My soul followeth hard after thee. That's what God wants us to get closer. I said I would go quickly. Let me read a few verses out of Luke chapter 10. This will set up the second, how to hear God's voice. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. You know, I realized when I read this again, I saw, I am often focused on being, I mean, I know this story well, but I saw it in a different light. I'm too often more of a host, not a hostess, it was Martha, but a host, you know, just kind of always doing and always, you know, kind of running interference, if you will, for the Lord or for this or that or the other thing. And God's saying, more interested in worshipers. I was convicted. Several of us on the worship team were watching a video Monday night together, and one of the words that was used to describe worship leaders, in essence, I think he was saying, I don't know if it was a requirement, it was just an encouragement, that worship leaders ought to be passionate pursuers. And I remember thinking, you know, am I pursuing God? But would the term passionate pursuer describe me? And honestly, I thought, well, maybe at times, but it pierced me. I felt like, okay, God, I need to passionately pursue you. And that's this sitting at the Lord's feet. Martha was distracted. She came, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Maybe we should say that together. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Second thing, first thing, what's the first thing? Come closer. Second thing, sit still. Sit still. Do you know how hard that is? I can remember just this thought of going back to as a teenager, Dad, can I do this? You know, Dad, can I do that? Do you have to be going all the time? Anybody ever get asked, do you have to be doing something all the time? I said, yeah. I'm a teenager, you know, that's what teenagers do. I can remember that well. I can't remember some other things, but I can remember that well. Sit still. Third thing. One verse. This is out of John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, Jesus is speaking, my sheep listen to. They hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Number one, come closer. Say, what was it? Come closer. Two, sit still. Three, visit often. That's my, just it's all of those, but it's listen. But the reason I put visit often is because it's not just, okay, all right, oh, that's right. I've got to come. Okay, I'm gonna listen now. I'm gonna listen to your voice, Lord. I've got 5 minutes. Well, three, you know. I'm not going to take 3 minutes, but the idea is we do. We just kind of settle and we expect, and oh, gotta go, and off we go, and I just, there's something about, you know, I saw someone. In fact, it was Daniel Sweet, Ed's son that went to Africa with us, and I saw him recently, and I didn't recognize him right away because he has a full beard. And yeah, it's only been, you know, 6 or 8 months. But, you know, sometimes I think that the fact that we don't visit often, we don't easily recognize. Oh. And sometimes after the fact, do you ever think of, I think I saw so-and-so, and it just now dawned on me who that was. Am I the only one? I want to be quick. If God's going to speak something to me, I want to hear it. Oh, that God, I don't even want to know the things that God has spoken to me that went unheard. I don't even want to know. Well, maybe I do. Do you hear me? God, give us ears to hear. Kent, do you want to add? Yeah.
And it's like you hear and you think, well, it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I need a plan here. I need something. He just kept telling me over and over again, nope, just encourage people. And it's been almost a year now, and I still forget constantly. He did speak to me.
Yes.
I came close. I sat still. I visited often.
Yes. I love that line. Even if God says something I don't want to hear,
yes.
I want to hear it. Let's close this way. By the way, we could have, I'm thinking TR for sure, possibly the worship team and maybe many of you, we could have literally taken the songs that were chosen this morning and used them as points for this message. Every single one of them. Draw near. Lord, you have my heart. Hear, hear, O Israel, the Lord, he is one God. Love the Lord with all your heart. Let's close this way. Bow your heads, would you? Lord, we want to we don't just want to hear your voice. Lord, we don't want to just get the answer we want. Lord, what we realize is that hearing your voice kind of happens, not kind of, it definitely happens as we draw closer to you. Lord, as we sit still at your feet. Lord, as we visit often. Lord, a natural byproduct is that we're going to hear your voice. We don't even have to ask. Though you want us to ask, though you want us to seek you want us to listen, Lord, we we realize that it's not the exception, it's the rule when we posture ourselves close to you. You know, just as we are praying, perhaps you are aware this morning that you've allowed some distance to come in your relationship and realize that there needs to be a change of direction. Would you just say in your heart, you just not out loud, but just loud enough so that the Holy Spirit can hear, Lord, I'm coming closer. I want to draw near to you, Lord. Now maybe you're aware that the distance that you really never, in your heart, never acknowledged a desire to not only not draw closer, but to just embrace the person of Jesus. Never invited and desired to have a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, right in, just in your heart, where you're sitting, without even saying anything out loud, just in your heart, invite that relationship. Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to have relationship with you. I want to know you. I recognize that my need for you in my life, and I want to pursue a relationship with you. I want to draw close to you. If you're doing that, if that's your heart, you know, I just encourage you to do that. Whisper that prayer. Now, he can hear. He has good hearing. And then maybe there are some that you feel like you are pursuing, but that there isn't that fire, that passion. And would just say, Lord, rekindle the fire. Lord, stir my heart. Draw me. I take the first step, Lord. If that's your prayer, then breathe that prayer to the Lord. Lord, thank you for speaking to us so that we can hear. Thank you for your patience. We give you praise, Lord. Amen.
Let's go and stand.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your
that's some pictures that I was
This is in Zimbabwe, and it's called the Devil's Swimming Pool. And you actually, it's a little pool, a hole that you can jump down into, and these people stand on the edge of death, looking over, and I mean, even the other family, somebody is looking over the edge of that waterfall.
It's like 900.
And I think, you know, people will draw close to that kind of stuff and not think anything of it, and yet we shrink back from, I don't want to get too close to God.
Oh my goodness.
No, so here's the blessing. Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
How many of us would do that?
Well, I don't know. Lord Jesus, Lord, let your hand be in our lives, Lord, to certainly protect us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.